Okay, so we try sometimes, at least in some of these slots, to be able to speak a little bit about, I guess, the how-tos of learning. What we're going to speak about today has to do with a variety of practical tips about learning with Shonim. Typically, in a lot of these shiur, they tend to be a little bit more makoros-based and have more of a tour of a shiur. The goal of this particular slot is to be actually, I guess you would say, very, very practical about just some tips and strategies for understanding with Shonim well. I'm guessing there'll be about 10 or so, although it's broken up into different sections and it's hard to know. So we'll do our best, and hopefully things can be as clear and helpful as possible. Let me just begin by saying the following: being able to read the Mekoros that we engage in not only will it make Seder time infinitely more valuable, but it opens up the world for you as far as independent learning and the like. You can have people sometimes who are incredibly intelligent and can analyze well, but everything has to stem from, and ultimately, in many ways, even go back in to what we're reading and to what we're learning, and to be able to do so, it's a wonderful investment. It's one of the reasons why understanding Hebrew is so important. But what I'm talking about today is really learning Rishonim. Rishonim, a little bit less, we'll speak about Rashi, but more Tosfos, Ramban, and some of the more standard Rishonim, to be able to appreciate and understand how to do it. I'm sure many of us have encountered various Rishonim. It's a very long Tosfos, it's a very long something, and it's just a little bit of a question like, how do we do this as well as possible to be able to be as successful as possible, and to be able to speak a little bit about a variety of tips that I think can be helpful. Not all these tips do we all need to do, especially with every single Rishon. I think being aware of them in general will be helpful, and the more that some of these things become second nature for how you learn them, some of these things we may on our own already be doing for sure, and some of them, again, at different levels. I'm also going to speak throughout to sort of different crowds. Some of the Ha'aras are for people that want a little bit more help as far as just making sure I understand pshat of what's going on, like pshat of what's going on. And some of us that want to be able to read in a bit of a deeper, more analytical way, which I think can be helpful. Let me begin. Again, there's six steps here in general, but let's start as follows. Number one, before you're learning anything, make sure we're clear on all the previous steps. If you want to read a Ramban on Chumash, and I don't know Chumash and Rashi, I'm going to have a very, very hard time understanding the Ramban. So Ramban's based on Chumash and Rashi. If I want to understand Tosfos, and I'm really not so clear on what happened in Gemara and Rashi, our understanding of Tosfos will be severely limited. Often what happens, or at least sometimes what happens, is in the course of our learning, when I want to encounter a Rishon and things get hard, so sometimes it's because I really wasn't so clear in some of the Gemara stuff. Especially, it's always true, but especially when you're dealing with like a comment of a Rishon that's on the Shaka Batari of the Gemara, the more that you're really clear as far as the flow and the give and take in the Gemara, the more we're able ourselves to be able to sort of now approach it. That's true, again, for so many things. A guy that tries to learn a Reb Chaim and hasn't seen the Rambam that the Reb Chaim is on, or I'm trying to learn a Kedusha Slavi who's saying a Vort in a Pasuk, but I don't really know what the Pasuk's about, even on a level of Pshat, all of that will be significantly less meaningful. And the first step is before you even open up a Rishon, if you're not clear in it, you have a very, very hard time being able to do so. There are a couple of Gedol Yisrael that said that about the Marsha, that if you open up a Marsha and you don't understand the Marsha, it's just a raya that you really didn't get Pshat in Tosfos. If you knew Tosfos well, so the Marsha would be much easier. Now, whether that's true or not is not for now, but generally that would be the first thing which I would say. When we're then learning Rishonim, again, we're talking to you the way that I learned Rishonim, the way that people I've spoken to who teach these things have found things to be valuable. The next step I would call is getting the big picture of a Rishon. If it's a short, four-line, three-line Tosfos, it's a different story, but especially larger Rishonim. Imagine that you were looking at that Milchamos from this morning, and you weren't told the small section to sort of like find about Hakri Ve'una, but instead you had that whole Ramban. I think it would be much more difficult. I'll share with you what I do, and what I think makes a lot of sense. Number one, before I open up a Rishon, I want to orient myself a little bit. There are different Rishonim who have different goals, and sometimes even knowing what their goal is can help me like mentally prepare for what I'm probably going to see, although not always. If I'm about to read Rashi, I know what Rashi's goal is. Rashi's goal is probably to explain the Gemara in front of me. If I'm opening up a Tosfos, especially if I see a Ve'im Tomar and a couple of Yesh Lomars, I already know I'm anticipating a certain kind of question. If I open up a Rambam, I know I'm dealing with like a halachic psak. I'm not going to read like a long shtickel Torah with three kashas and yisod and then resolving it. If I'm learning a Rambam, I'm going to encounter halach as it is. And for me, at least, I want to sort of orient myself a little bit. I always will then, again, I will always read through the entire Makor once. I'll do it with Rishonim and I'll do it with Achronim. I'll do it when I'm learning Sifrei Chassidus. I'll do it if I'm reading something from the Bali Musar. I'll always read through the entire Makor once. Once is not to get pshat. Once is not to understand everything that's going on. Once is to get some sort of an idea of maybe what I'm going to encounter, what's going to happen. One is like my initial research to get like a little bit of background in terms of what exactly I'm about to encounter. That's the first thing. I then read over the entire thing. That can be done pretty quickly. I'm going to read over, see like what kind of topic is going to be. I read like some impressions. Then I will go through the second time and do the following. This I believe to be really, really important. When I was a junior and senior in high school, Rabbi Jachter taught us this, and it's really helpful. Break up into sections. As the Velt says, an inch is a cinch, a yard is hard. If you break up into sections, things can be much easier. What does it mean to break up into sections? So let's say Tovos that we saw this week about Yavesh. There are two sections in Tosfos. One section is, why is Yavesh Pasul? The other section is, what is called Yavesh? Those are the two sections. When I'm reading through, I want to do my best to divide it up. So I know that there are two different sections, and I can even identify what's happening in each section. Why is it helpful to break it up into sections? First of all, it can tell me, like in units, like I'm focusing on this now, then I'm focusing in that, and it's helpful sometimes because if I don't understand something in the beginning section, sometimes I can know, okay, I do the second section, at least I tackle that a little bit, then I'll come back to the first. It's a way of organizing things. To do that well, if you're breaking up into sections in a perfect world, it's, you know, I have a long toes post and I have, you know, this is all one section, this is another section. When you break it up, I would do two other things. One is label them in your head, if not actually, but label them in your head a little bit. What does it mean to label it in your head? What am I dealing with right now? I'm dealing with questions and answers. I'm dealing with how to understand three lines in the Gemara. I'm dealing with just to know what it is. To be able to label the section. That's where one of the things which we, the more we have to learn specifically shown him, the more we're aware of the way that they speak. So what are the code words in Tosfos to know that I'm dealing with a question? Words like v'imtomar or tema or v'kashalan, I can look and I can see certain things. The answers, I'll see either a name with or a v'yesh lomar, but to be able to organize things in that kind of a way, I don't understand it yet. I just know that there's a question, a couple answers right now. I know there's something about psak right now, and I'm thinking about how to understand Gemara right now. I know that there's something going on, an argument with Rashi, there are whatever it is, to be able to label that is, generally speaking, wonderful, and that's before I've started reading it. Meaning, before I'm learning a particular Rishon, again, these are tips that work for me, before I'm learning a particular Rishon, before I'm actually learning Tosfos, I've already made sure I know my Gemara and Rashi. I've already made sure I've read through Tosfos a couple of times to know more or less what to anticipate. I have already made sure that I'm able to have some sort of like a structure or outline. I'll do that sometimes, like that Melchamos, which is crazy long. What I will need to do on my, and maybe this is different people, I'll need to have the entire Melchamos, especially if I don't have an Oz V'Hadar, which does this a little bit for me. I'll need to take it all on my computer sometimes and just break up the paragraphs and indent sections and where are the answers and where are the rayas. It's just a way of, for me, being able to be as clear as possible. Now I'm actually starting to learn it. What do I want to do? So we're still at the pre-section, but we're in number three. What information do I need to know as background? What background information is going to be critical? It is a long tome about Meister Sheni. I know nothing about Meister Sheni. You can work as hard as you want. You can have the most on Melos in the world. You will not understand what's going on in the tome because I don't have background information about Meister Sheni. I don't have it. And to make sure, what are the terms or concepts here that are coming up that are really important? And also, when I read it sometimes, are there Gemara's Tovus' quoting that I'm going to have to look up? This came up already, you know, yesterday about the Tosfos in Yavesh, with the Gemara Bechoros, and Yavesh with the Gemara Bezara. And I was like, I'm a little bit difficult sometimes. It wasn't even me being difficult. And someone, you know, was like, oh, like, what does that Gemara, you know, mean? And my initial question to, like, four of the Chavrus that asked was, did you look it up? No. So, in general, if I look at a Tosfos and I see a Gemara there, so I want to make sure, especially, if I see that there's five Gemaras that are all being quoted as Rayas, so then maybe I could say, you know what, they're not all of equal importance. But if their shita seems to emerge from a Gemara, so then looking at that Gemara, making sure that I understand the background of it. If I don't understand what's going on in the Gemara of Zara, imagine if you opened the Tosfos, and I already looked up, I knew the Gemara of Zara, I knew the Gemara of Masech Tachoros, and now I read Tosfos, so now I read very, very smoothly. And the more of the background that we know as far back information, that's going to be very, very important. And then within each section, you want to do two things, I believe. This is what I think people who are... This is helpful. I want to always be able to identify what are the main sections and what are the secondary parts. What are the things that if I don't know, I'm really lost, And what are the things that if I don't know, we wouldn't call it the biggest deal in the world? What's an example of that? Tosfos says, we paskin like this shita. And here are five rayas we paskin like that shita. So what's the main thing I want to know? That we paskin like that shita. What is secondary? The fourth raya. If I missed the fourth raya, none of us would say, you know what? I want to work on that and it's great. But as far as prioritizing, the fourth raya is the fourth raya. Tosfos has a question, two answers. And I don't even understand the... And in the question, it's like a long aside or things like that. But I more like get the question, so I get the question. I know what I know, and I know what I don't know. And sometimes when you're initially learning, being able to name those things is very, very helpful. Some people say, like, you know, it's like the end of a shiur. How was your today? I didn't get anything. I couldn't follow the Rav's Mahalach. I'm like, wasn't Rav's Mahalach the last, like, 7 minutes of shiur? So you don't mean you didn't get anything. You mean you didn't get the last 7 minutes of shiur. And being able to name what you know and what you don't know, that's true for listening to Shiurim, it's true for learning Sfarim. It's so helpful to be able to be realistic and on top of things. I didn't get those three rayas. Perfect. Okay. I didn't get, you know, like, this Ram Mesir Mizbeach. Would anyone think something on the side of the board that's number three on a list of five things is the most critical thing to get? I imagine most would say, okay, you know, that's fine. Well, you know, we'll go from there. I don't get anything about why we're talking about Hakri Vehu Null. In fact, I was like, why are we talking about that today? So there I would say, like, that's probably pretty fundamental information. Probably, like, pretty, pretty important. And that's one of the things as you go through, being able to go through and organize and also see if you can pick up on a little bit what's, like, super critical to get and what's, like, less critical, especially initially, and maybe I'll come back to it. As you go through initially also, again, this is we're talking more on the level of shot. We'll get to more of the deeper reading in a second. As initially, it's always, always helpful to have, like, a dry run at punctuating. Just punctuate things. It'll give you a little bit. You may change things up, and that's fine. But if you, by the time I learn Tosfos, have sections, I know question and answer some other Gemara. That Gemara seemed important. I think I'm pretty familiar with it. I'm able to now look. So then when I have these, like, these sections a little bit, what I'm going to be able to know is what's most critical, less critical. I now punctuate a little bit. This seems like a question. There's Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. I think that's part of their Bechina, I think. You don't tell me if it's fine. There's one of them where I think at least one of the Rebbeim will say, here's a Gemara you've never seen before, just read. Don't translate at all, just read. And part of what the person wants to get a little bit of a feel for is how much, like, intuitively you pick up on, like, what seems like a question, what seems like a comment. A guy reads, like, Tanu Rabbanan, as if it's like a tiyufta, like, Tanu Rabbanan? You know, something like that. So you would say, like, could be he hasn't learned, like as much, you know. Or a guy says, like, Tanu, period. Rabbanan? Question mark? Like that. So, I'm saying, so it would give you a feel that, like, so there are a lot of those terms that you can get a feeling for things. Like, the odds are what punctuation mark is always going to be before Yesh Lomar? A question. You know, it's always going to be a question mark beforehand. I would sometimes, when I was younger, would do this much more. If I'm reading, like, a Ritva, let's say about the Shir of Yavesh, and Ritva quotes a lot of deyas, for me, it was a good mechayiv and helpful. I would write next to it, you know, answer one, answer two, you know, answer three. Just to be able to have it a little bit, to organize that way. Before I've even, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what they're talking about as far as the leaves, most of a leaf, most of the spine of it. But I know that there's three shitas. One of those three shitas, then I can sort of like break it down and focus a little bit more. And the more it's punctuated, I get the feeling for the punctuation, the more valuable that will be. When I now start wanting to sort of like unpackage individual things, I know what I want to do. So one of the first things, again, we're all thinking about more level of shot right now, is to what extent are there words there I don't know what they mean? Are there words I don't know what they mean and I can't figure out based on context? Are there concepts that seem to be really, really important? If there are words or concepts, so we can look them up. I'll just know because I think it's important to say, especially when you're learning Gemara. So Gemara was written in Aramaic, which means that the green Hebrew-English dictionary may not often have the word you're looking for because you're not using the dictionary for the right language with the text you're looking at. So a guy says, no, that word wasn't there. I'm like, what dictionary? Oh, that one. So is that surprising to you it wasn't in the Gemara? Like, is that, you know, like, did you try to find the French word in the Spanish-Croatian dictionary? And you're like, what, it's missing? So the answer is like, yeah, it's missing. The languages are maybe similar, but it's not the right dictionary. So it's not the right dictionary. So how, per se, am I really going to be able to, am I really going to be able to do it as well? And that's where it becomes, you know, making sure that when you look up words, and here's an important thing just to be aware of, words, especially Aramaic, often have multiple definitions. All multiple definitions. It means one thing I want to figure out is not, oh yeah, the number one on the sheet in the dictionary is not always what it means here. It could be something else. And also, here's something important. try to get a feel for it when you read Tosfos. You can ask sometimes. This is a, these are words I'm literally translating, or this is a reference to a Shas concept. It's a reference to a Shas concept. When I see Meiser Sheni, it's a Shas concept that literally means the second 20% that you're doing something with. It's a concept or not. To get familiarity with whether it's a concept is also going to be very important. Let's say as I go through, I want to pay attention to something else also. Again, this is going to be a more basic Ha'ara, but we'll build in a second. Which is to be able to make sure that I start, if I want to parse sentences together, identify things that are no different than any other language, identify subjects, nouns, verbs, let's see who's doing what, let's get used to the conjugation a little bit, and let's make sure that we can sort of like piece the sentence together. Subjects, nouns, verb, what's happening here? This is a, you know, how do I pull the whole sentence together? But once I know the words and the basic concepts, I may have a much easier time through that. Let's say I've done all these things that I can't understand Pshat and Rishon. What do? So there are tricks of the trade that don't involve like just looking at... There are other couple things to know. If I'm learning a Tosfos, as an example, or a Ramban, and I have a hard time getting Pshat and what one of his answers is, so there are other Rishonim, and there are certain Achronim that can be immensely helpful. If I don't know what Pshat and Tosfos is, so I can look at the Rush, at the Tosfos Rush, at Tosfos Rebbe Peretz, sometimes at Ritva or Ramban, and what you'll find is that they'll quote Tosfos, and sometimes just add in three words. But sometimes, those are the three words that make it significantly clearer. So sometimes, as I have a Marmakomo sheet, I don't get Pshat and Tosfos, but something you can do is, let me go to the next Marmakom and see if that is helpful. Let me look at someone else who's likely to quote Tosfos, and see, that's true in for Tosfos in that way, and the more that you get to learn, the more you will pick up who are the people that are helpful for you, and with different Sfarim, so where would I look, you know, for those individual Sfarim? But to be aware of that is great. If I've done that, I want to read it again, make sure I can read comfortably, and it's all good. I've now, in a certain sense, made my way through. Again, preparation, read through. I've then been able to sort of like, I've read it again at the end. I'm pretty good. I can identify main sections and things like that. I believe the next thing that you really want to do is number 5 on the sheet, which is, can you give a basic summary of what happened? I can read to you and I'm good. But what happened? You could say as follows. Tosfos has a machlokas with Rashi. Why lulav hayavesh is pasul? Rashi because of zekiv anveyu. Tovus because of hadar. Tovus quotes two opinions. What's considered to be yavesh? They reject the opinion that it's a lulav that was there for 12 months. They accept the opinion that it's so brittle you could pick it apart, you know, when you touch it with your nail or things like that. That's the summary. You don't need every single raya in the summary. The summary is the main points. The more that you understand the Rishon, the easier it is to extract the main Yesodos. The more I understand it, the more I can extract what's most important. The less I get it, the less I'm really sure what's going on. It's like if you go with like a... the first time I went to a basketball game with my son, with Chaim, I remember at the game, he didn't know that was a basketball yet. So he wasn't so sure like what's like a big play and what's like not so important. What's major and what's not. And if you're not so familiar, you think like the starting lineups is like what the game's all about. It's huge. It's crazy. Like the whole place is going nuts. But that's not the ikker part of the game at all. And with Rishonim also, the Havdil, when we're learning Rishonim, to be able to pay attention a little bit to like what's the main takeaway? What are the main pieces here? Sometimes maybe I missed one, but as I saw the next Maran Malkum, I say, whoa, yeah, that seems like, let me go back to Tosfos and say, maybe that was the main thing. But to think, can I summarize it? Can I summarize it in full, complete English sentences? You can do that in one of two ways. You can either write down a good summary, full, complete English sentences. Alternatively, you can say it out loud. You can say it out loud. Thinking in your head, yeah, I'm good. I don't think it's the best way of doing it. I don't think that's the way of doing it. Now we get to the next step. Again, hopefully some of these are helpful, which is a term that Reb Lachman, I believe, likes called forensic reading. Here we're talking about reading in a way which is really super analytical. Here we're talking about, especially for those of us that feel like we're more comfortable reading through Rishonim, understanding them well, I want to speak about a couple of different steps or a couple of tips that are very important as far as reading Rishonim in a more analytical way, being able to make sure that we can analyze them in a, you know, in a way which makes sense. Number one, I believe, as is probably abundantly clear, the first step I want to do is be able to identify those that Rishon's assumptions. What were the assumptions of that Rishon in the question? What are the assumptions of that Rishon in his answer? Whoa, Tovus assumes two things. Tovus assumes Yavesh is X because Tovus assumes that Gemara is relevant here. to be able to use that in a meaningful way, I think, is very, very important. Identifying assumptions. Identifying assumptions in questions. Identifying assumptions. Yes, there was a good example of this in rayas. Someone quotes a raya. What is Tobos assuming in bringing that raya? It's a natural jump or not a natural jump? That's one of the reasons why we want to look up the Gemaras that the Rishonim are quoting. If I look up that Gemara, Lulav Tzarech Haged, Ein Tzarech Haged, I want to be able to see, wait, what Tobos says, it says. It really says it, or it doesn't really say it, it's more of a raya. They're talking about Lulav and Eged, and they're assuming it's relevant by Lulav Hayavi. And to pay attention to any jump someone makes with a raya, so those are the things, but in general, identifying the assumptions, and then, when you identify them, asking yourself a very simple question. Again, this is a starting point. When you identify them, the question I want to ask is, does that sound like the kind of thing which everyone would agree to? Was that surprising to me? Could I hear someone arguing with it or not? Just to be able to categorize it in your head, Tovos was saying, like, Dvarim Pshutim? Tovos was saying here something which is a real Chiddush. Tovos, what exactly are they contributing here, which I wouldn't have known necessarily? It's they wrote it for a reason. So what would I have thought? What did they teach me right now? But identifying those assumptions, asking that question is going to be very, 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 very important. I think we're into two additional things also. The question now is, what do you do with Tosfos? And here there's two things to point out. Number one, this we do a lot, and hopefully we'll... Tosfos has a question. Tosfos gave one answer. How else could I have answered the question? And why didn't Tosfos go that way? There were two assumptions. Hakuvei was a din in Mos, Yavesh is not Mos, and now I'm stuck. That's my question. The Ramban may have answered the question one way. How else could I have answered the question? What else could you have said? And to know what else you could have said will make the Rishon you're reading so much better, because now it's not Tosfos, now it's Tosfos said that, and the Dafka didn't say this. And I can appreciate more what Tosfos is saying. So anything striking or relevant they're saying, as kama v'kama, that's incredibly, incredibly valuable. Incredibly valuable. The more I'm learning a sugya, this is less for now, I want to start really comparing and contrasting. The more I'm sensitive to Tosfos, the more I can compare Tosfos to the Ritva, the Rashba, the same daya quoted in Tosfos, but it's quoted a little bit differently in the Ritva and a little bit differently in the Rash. And I try to figure out a little bit, is that difference, does that difference matter? But to pay attention a little bit as you're reading it, not I can read and understand, but I can read and understand. I can know what they're assuming in their answer. I can get a hunch on my own, do I think that's surprising or not? I can tell you what I think they probably could have said, but chose not to say. And maybe I'll see the Ramban says it, or someone else, but at least the beginning of a Mahalach, to pick up in terms of what Tovos is really doing in a sugya, to read in that kind of way, what you call a little bit like of a really picking apart different things. Really picking apart different things. Trying to be sensitive as much as we can to the way they do what they do, what they're assuming in their answer, the words they choose, etc. And then we start talking about, and this will be the last part, then we start talking about how we take a Tosfos and put it as part of a larger sugya. How do you take it and put it part of a larger sugya? And here you want to do a couple of things, I believe. I'll just say it in case it's helpful for morning Seder. Whenever you have Rishonim that are dealing with the same question, we already have the beginning of a structure. We already know we have a question, we may have multiple answers, and I can already start comparing and contrasting. If I'm reading forensically, I want to already start comparing. The questions look similar, but are they really the same questions? Why did Tosfos quote a raya as part of his question, and the Ritva didn't? Or, how come when Tosfos quoted shitas about Yavesh, they quoted rayas, and the Ritva didn't quote a raya? He just said it loses its green. Is that significant or not significant? That's already the comparing as far as the reading goes. The way they do it. Now, some words aren't going to matter. Some words may matter. But to pay attention a little bit as far as the comparing and contrasting, you're already going to get a whole lot more action going on when I start comparing and contrasting in that way. There's another thing also which can be very helpful. The people who critique particular Derech Halimut for essentially only doing this. Which is the following. I started out with a discussion. Discussion was, I wanted to know I'm learning the sugya, mitzvah of Avera. I have a bunch of questions about mitzvah of Avera. You haven't learned it yet. What are questions I may have about mitzvah of Avera? Basic questions. What's the source for it? When does it apply? It applies by all mitzvahs, all Averas, not all mitzvahs, not all Averas. What's the nature of the psul? What happens when mitzvah of avera applies? It's a din d'oraiser, din d'rabbanan. Lots of questions like that. That's what I want to know. I may learn rishonim that do not, their goal was not answering those questions. Their goal was talking about something else. They wanted to solve a stira between a gemara and psachim and a gemara and sukkah. But when I'm reading them, one of the questions I'll ask at the end is I've made my way through, I've read Tosfos, I get Pshat and Tosfos, I've dealt with something, etc., is being able to take a step back and say, did Tosfos give me any information? Did the Rashba give me any information that reflects upon these major questions? Not I understood it and I'm good to go, but I read Tosfos. So did Tosfos tell me anything about this question? Maybe it wasn't explicit. Maybe it's inferred from it. A lot of Achronim do that. They start with a Chakira. I'll give you an example. Achronim Rachoker, the idea of Hiddur Mitzvah, of Zekhi Vanveyu, is like a separate nice idea, or like it really sort of like integrates to be part of the mitzvah itself. Like it's a better mitzvah of Zekhi Vanveyu. It's like a side idea. It's the same mitzvah of Vulav no matter what. But if it's nice, you know, Hashem says, Zekhi Vanveyu, that's great. Or it's a better mitzvah of Lulav. It like integrates in part of the mitzvah. Now, it could be that Rashi and Tosfos don't explicitly speak about that at all. But it could be that if I learn Rashi and I say, I can at this point, great, I don't worry about it at all, and I say, wait a minute, Rashi holds we're going to passel the lulav because of Zekli Vanveyu. That probably tells me Zekli Vanveyu is not separate, but rather part of. But sometimes it's not explicit in Rashi. It's something which I have to ask myself and say, what other questions do I have that this reason now helps. As an example, there are chronim that argue you could infer from Rashi and Tosfos on our sugya whether hiddur mitzvah is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. Tosfos is never explicit about it. You could break down every assumption of Tosfos, and maybe you will, maybe you won't get it. But maybe if I ask that question, hiddur d'oraisa d'rabbanan, there are chronim that said, let me look at Tosfos. Could be that in Rashi, because it sounds like we're dealing with Doraisas here, Luluf Hayabesh Pasel, and it sounds in the Gemara we're dealing with Doraisa issues, Mitzvah Bavavera and Hadar and things like that. It must be that Rashi thinks that Zekhi Vanveyu, Hidr Mitzvah, is a Din Doraisa. It must be. And Tosfos, some would say, Tosfos doesn't ask on Rashi, it's only Durabanan. Maybe Tosfos thinks that it's really, there are, I don't know, different ways of saying it. But sometimes learning to read Rishonim well is asking not just the what's in front of me, but how could I use this in a way which will be more beneficial? Let's chazor again. We'll take a couple questions, and we'll think about parsha. Try to do the following today. We'll see what we're going to do next week if we're trying a little bit. But the following. I'm reading Rishonim. First step. There's a question of before, during, and after. Before, background. I'm really holding the initial steps. Chumash and Rashi before Rambam. Rambam before Reb Chaim. The. Gemara Rashi before Tosfos. Gemara Rashi before Ramban or Ritva or Rush. Make sure I'm holding in those things. Then, basic terms, concepts. Great. Now I'm in it. I'm structuring it. I'm going to have it, especially a longer piece, have it broken into sections. Identify what's going on there. Questions and answers. Psak, Shakavatari, etc. I want to try to identify what sections here seem like most critical. What sections less critical in the course of engaging any of that background. And then once I've done it, a good summary. And then we think about forensic reading. Identifying assumptions, jumps, leaps of logic. That everyone would agree with it? That was surprising or not surprising? How exactly am I going to go about doing it? And then at the end, what I really want to be able to do is start using, how do I use this for my sugya? What does this tell me about maybe some of the other questions, aside from the Gemara and Tosfos? The comparing and contrasting is Tosfos versus the Ramban. That's already helpful. It's 2 days in Tosfos to play them off each other. But to start learning in that kind of way, there's so much depth of Torah, let's say, in this Rashi and Tosfos, which are, you could use it for, again, Hiddur Mitzvah, Doraisa, Durabanan. Hiddur Mitzvah, part of the mitzvah or separate. But you could extract from here if we're thinking in those terms a little bit. Let's, a couple questions and I'll...